three. If the two handsome gentlemen that are in the back, Dada and Cliffy, don't quit yet. If you need notes, these two gentlemen will pass out notes to you. So we're going to look at Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12 and verse 13, and also Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. If you need notes, raise your hand, please. That's so nice, Cliffy, that you got some for your wife. All right, let's all stand, please. We'll read this text together. I came very close to preaching this morning. In most every way, this is a Sunday morning necessary sermon. So what I will do in the near future probably is I will pull over and preach a sermon like this, you know, from a different text, the same sermon. Because what I'm going to talk about tonight is kind of central to being a Christian. Now, can I ask all of you a question? Have you ever heard someone say this? We need to get back in church. Now, I've been here 25 years. You've never heard me say that. I don't think the problem is being in church or out of church. I think the problem is being the church. And the guilt and the foolishness that has gone on in churches of people that feel guilty. But what I find out about guilty people is they never change their behavior. They just feel guilty. Have you ever noticed that? And if you go to a certain kind of Baptist church, you have an altar call every service. Everybody comes forward. Look at, please, look up here. Everybody does the Baptist absolution where they get over their guilt and they go right back to doing what they were doing before. It's the weirdest thing in the world. And Baptists cannot figure this out, that Baptist absolution is not a biblical teaching. Tonight is a very simple sermon. Here's the good news. It's going to be short. It's going to be sweet. Here's the bad news. There's not one thing you can do with this sermon tonight. This sermon is all about the back page. And it's all about what you do. One another. I'll talk more about it as we move forward. Let's read together. I think verse 13 might be the most powerful verse in the Bible on this subject. Verse 12, take heed, brethren, whoever the author of Hebrews is, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Do you all recognize that almost nobody departs from the living God in one step? Look at me, please. Did you hear what I said? The evil heart of unbelief tends to be a process. It tends to take anywhere from 6 months to a couple of years. You will see it in a person. My wife and I were driving here tonight. Now, when she drives, which she did this whole last week, she chauffeured me around because you say, is she a good driver? On the whole, she is an excellent driver. She does some things that, you know, of course, irritate me. You say, what would those be? None of your business. But she's a good driver. Tonight, she never makes comments. By the way, why is there some people that never make comments about other people's driving? I'm driving to church tonight. We're in the fast lane, two lanes coming south. We're probably 33rd Street coming up to Wadsworth and then Wadsworth to whatever's next, Beach. And all of a sudden, the lady in front of me goes from 45 to 50 down to about 30. And she just keeps driving 30. What is she doing? Somebody tell me what she's doing. She's either on her phone. Well, she's impeding traffic, Tom. She's impeding traffic. She's irritating me. Okay, got that. She's on her phone or she's slowing down to turn. No joke. For one entire slice, she slowed down to 30 to 35 because she needed to turn left, but there was a left turn lane. Can I tell you something? an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Every pastor that's been a pastor for 15 minutes sees it coming. Because you start seeing this, the slow turn. I see it right in this room from people this morning. I don't even know if they know it's happening. That's the part that scares me. Part of it is they never talk the biblical language that I've been preaching for 25 years. They still talk Billy Baptist talk. I feel guilty. I need to get back in church. What does that mean? Now, you ready for the hard verse? Look at verse 13. And if you have not memorized this, folks, this is the night to memorize. This verse should be a central verse in your Christian life. The author says, but exhort one another. Who's the one another? Each of us, the one another. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be what? Through what? The deceitfulness of sin. Hebrews 10:24 says, and let us consider one another, and this has a terrible connotation in modern English, to provoke. By the way, my children love to provoke one another, but this is used in a positive sense, to encourage, to stir up, to excite for good behavior. So the author says, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but instead, by the way, this is the difference between I need to get back in church and I need to be church. He didn't say you need to show up and put your bottom on a chair. He said, but exhorting one another. Yes or no? See, our problem is no matter what I preach, either they will not be here or they will not hear. Folks, church is not about putting your backside in a seat. Church is what you do for one another. But exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. We're going to talk, last two Sunday nights ago, I talked about basic worship. Tonight, we'll talk about one another. Let us pray. Father, help us. Help me. Help me, Father, to be able to share simple ideas. I ask in Christ's name, amen. You may be seated. Oh, Superman, thank you. That's sophisticated, buddy. That's a high level of sophistication there. I was in contact with one person in our church this last week. As my problem got worse, I finally decided to call Atong. Now, Atong, by the way, in case you don't know, is not only a nurse, don't tell him that I think this, but he's actually a pretty smart guy. That's not the thing I like about him the most. I like about him the most is how he picks on Pachungay, but I do like that he's smart. So I called Atong to get his opinion, and on Tuesday night, I needed to go to the emergency room. You say, why? Because there was a certain, I wasn't doing something that was physiological that you have to do, and if you don't do, it's not good. So Atong told me he would even drive me, but I said no because I knew Jenny wanted to go with me. Now, friends, I'm not going to tell you all the details other than this. We get to the emergency room at Highland Park Hospital. We go into the emergency room. I do not even see a doctor at first. Are you listening? I see a high-level nurse. She is called in that place a triage nurse. That lady did not pray, did not fast, did not get stupid. Did not get weird when I told her my age and my symptoms. About 99%, she knew exactly what the problem was, and she had the basic problem solved within 3 or 4 minutes. Why is that? Because you get used to seeing things. Pastors get used to watching people. I have told half a dozen people about different people through the years. I hope I am wrong. I hope and I even pray that I am wrong. People normally don't know that I can see what they're doing and what they're doing, where it's going to lead them. Did you just hear that? How do I know? Because I have magic glasses. You just see this over and over and over. Certain behaviors lead to certain places. So I'm just going to read a little story. This is a conglomerate story. It's not about any one person. It's about 50. Their marriage was always rocky. He was a cocky guy, and she was always dreaming of the male who never existed on any planet. There was lots of anger between them, lots of fighting, lots of bitterness. And eventually, of course, they ended, by the way, what I could have seen, and by the way, I'm thinking of a person that used to come here in the 1970s, that when I called Jim Dewar in the early 1990s, I said, how is so-and-so doing? And his first words, and Dewar is not me, he said, same as always. I come here in 96 and that couple is long divorced. Shocker! Because people tend to follow patterns. Do you think that's true? You tend to see things. Do you want to see them? I've said many times, I wish my name was Jim Dewar and was unaware. I wish I didn't see anything that people do. You start to see people make choices. Hey, you start to see people make choices. And they think somehow those choices aren't going to lead them someplace. Then they make another choice, and then they make another. You say, Pastor, who are you talking to? Do you realize on purpose I have left this totally neutral? I'm talking to everybody. We're going to talk about this text, because this text is my heartbeat. Well, let's look at the text. I say in your notes, in my way of thinking, especially when it comes to the body, this is the central discipline of grace. If we don't get this, we don't get much. Number one, I say in your notes, we are part of one another. One of the things the Scripture teaches is that when you get saved, you become part of something other than just yourself. You become part of one another, or if you want to say it another way, you become part of the body. Romans 12, for as we have many members in one body, he's talking about the human body. You know, the human body is made up of fingers, hands, you know, all kinds of structures, hair, skin. We have all kinds of different members. And all those members have not the same office, meaning they don't do the same things. He now applies this to the church, primarily locally, but it works universally too. He says, so we, being many, are what? One body in Christ. And every one members one of another. So we are part of one another. Look at me. Do you know what the implications are? Hey, look up here. Do you know what the implications are? This means, we'll get there in a moment, this means that something that happens to one person in this body starts impacting how many other people? Every single one except the people who are unaware of other humans. We've had several males that I do not think they think anybody exists other than themselves. It's usually males. By the way, friends, we're part of one another. God makes it so. Look at the next text. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor. Why? He says, for we're members of one of another. I mean, if I was to lie to Cliffy, who am I lying to? I'm lying to myself. There's just implications of when you get saved, God makes you part of one another. Background of this concept, real simple concepts in your notes is this. First of all, salvation makes us part of the body. That's the basic, simple concept. It makes us part of the body. So if you're saved, you're part of this body. So this idea of I need to get back in church, you do understand how stupid that sounds to me. That sounds juvenile, like people who never got out of kindergarten Christianity. I need to get back in church. No, no, no. If you're saved, you're part of a church. What do you mean you need to get back? What are you talking about? Is this like a club that you come to or don't come to? Well, for me, it's not. So, friend, let's go ahead and read these. 1 Corinthians 12:13 is the most important verse for this concept tonight. It's the only one we're going to read right now. Paul says, for by one Spirit, the Holy Spirit, are we all baptized into what? How many bodies? Whether we be Jew or Gentile or any other grouping, the grouping is not important. Every symbol, every kind of grouping, when you get saved, you are baptized into one body, whether we be bond or free, regardless then of our ethnicity, our religious background, our cultural background, our economic backgrounds, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. Salvation makes us part of the body. Number two, or it's not number two. Salvation makes us a permanent part of the body. Why is it so painful when somebody falls apart? Have you ever considered that? Hey, I can look around here. I talked to Just John on Bible study on a Wednesday night, two Wednesday nights ago. Some of you were glad you weren't there. And I directly, Dada, I want you to know, I directly addressed him and I said, Just John, we love you. And we're happy for your family. But Filipinos getting out of the Navy have been about 50-50 on how they have done for Christ. 50-50. Yes, some of the guys in our church have done this. But for every one of those, there's another one that has self-destructed. Why? You're part of something. This is not a club. You're a permanent part of the body. And here's my problem. I'm not an emotional person that some of you would consider emotional, but I am an attached person. Very attached. So when I look at Ruel Legazpi, my first thought, how was his kids? And I could go down the list. No anger. You can't make stupid choices and not impact everything. When it impacts your kids, it impacts this old man. Why? Because we're part of something. I can't decide I don't want to be part of this for a while. I think I'm taking the week off. As the pastor, I think next year I'm just taking that off. It's ridiculous. We're part of something. You say, did you care for Ruel Legazpi? Yes, exactly like I cared for almost every single person. I've only cared for one or two people, frankly, more. He's one. Everybody already knows that. I love these people. And to see people be stupid, wow. Thirdly, and here's where the rub comes. That, meaning being part of the body, that then makes us hurt when any part of the body hurts. Many years ago, my wife had the privilege of watching it. Was it 1990? 91? I was part of a martial arts school in St. Louis. I like martial arts. This was just the beginning times of what would become the craziness has become today, which I'm not always in favor of, the UFC kind of thing. We did a lot of that sort of thing in those days. I had to take a test. I'm not going to tell you about how macho I am, but the test started at 8 a.m., and we tested all day. No breaks, no hugs, no kisses, no, you know, holding your hand. You did things. We had to throw 1,000 kicks with each leg. For front kick, roundhouse kick, hooking heel kick, side kick, spinning back kick. 1,000, just try it sometime. By the time I got done doing that, and it was the afternoon, the soles of my feet were peeled off. Then we had to fight, and because I was the big tough guy, I got the privilege of fighting 5 black belts in a row, 3-minute rounds. 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. You see, how did you do? I have no idea. I was so exhausted. I was just trying to survive. And then at the end, the guy that ran the dojo said, now, Warren, you're going to fight 3 black belts at the same time. Still remember the blessing. I was, by this time, it was beyond death. All I can remember was this. I was just trying not to get hit in the face, okay? One of the guys slipped around from behind and hit me like this, right here on the lowest rib. It's a floating rib. Do you know what a floating rib is? Meaning it doesn't attach to the front. There's these that float. And quick as he hit, oh, I knew he had broken that rib. Oh, that hurt. Oh, I'm still feeling the pain. It's been a long time. You say, what happened? I went and had that x-rayed. I could see the rib was separated about 2 inches. They squeezed it back. It was okay. It eventually healed. But I want to ask you a question. Is your floating rib something you've thought about recently? When was the last time you woke up and said, thank God for floating ribs? All right? Do this. Sorry, Tom. Sit down in your chair and try to get up with a broken floating rib. Every time, oh, you know what's worse? What's the worst thing you can do? Do you all know? Laugh. Because when you laugh, you see, you talk about being a grandpa. You can't bend over. You can't reach for something. You can't, when you get up, why does a floating rib, it only connects in one place. It doesn't do anything. You can live without it. Actually, women in Hollywood actually have the 2 floating ribs removed so their waist gets smaller. I'm thinking about getting more than 2 removed on me. I'm thinking 4 for me. An idea, huh? Please don't. That's really stupid. Now, friend, please hear me. It impacted everything I did. Listen, laughing, breathing, bending, turning, getting up, getting down. How about this? You drop something on the floor. And the moment, and hey, I'm not that old in 1990. And in 1990, I'm young. I could do the splits, but about this much. I mean, I was super flexible. With that floating rib to bend over and get something, you wanted one of those grandpa things, you know? You could pick, it affected everything. Friend, hear me. Here's the part that's a problem with church. Church is not a place you go. It's one another. It's us. And when people, when they get truly saved and become part of us, they're part of us. They're part of our body. Just like that floating rib. Everything I did, I mean, like I say, I just wrote down these words. Laughing, breathing, bending, turning, getting up, sitting down, reaching, lifting, leaning. Have you ever tried to get in and out of a car with a broken rib? Just to lean. It took weeks for that to heal. Maybe it took too long because I was too stupid. But it took a long time. Number 2. Can I ask a question before I go? Do you understand you're part of one another? Yes or no? Hey, listen. Maybe you haven't thought of those failures that have been through our church. Maybe those failures haven't bothered you at all. This is my whole life. Those failures bother me. I can still look out there and see failures. If I'm not careful, I don't always want to come to church because I start thinking of the failures. I start wondering about people that moved out of this area because it was too expensive, moved to another area when I knew their children couldn't read and write. And I knew the mother's number one game was her emotions and waking up at noon, feeding the kids. All the kids were this big around when they were in first grade. They moved to Central Illinois. You say, who are these? Not your business. I just wonder what happened to those poor kids. Yes. By the way, hear me. This is one of the questions Wednesday night. If you don't hurt when others hurt, what does that say about you? Answer the question. Number 2. We are in peril as one another. Or the same word, imperiled. And Mrs. Warren, it would not let me put 2 L's there, though it looks appropriate. It just corrected it to 1 L. Imperiled. You know what it means to be imperiled, friend? We're in serious danger. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any one of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be what? What? Hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Let us consider, and let us consider one another to provoke into love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. I say in your notes, this could easily be its own series, our dangers, of course. We're going to limit those dangers, and I'm not even going to hammer on them. I'm just going to state them. There are at least three in the text. There is, first of all, the deceitfulness of sin. Can I ask you a question? Is sin deceitful? Do you think it is? All right. You guys had friends. Did you try to serve in Japan and try to encourage people? Did you ever have any failures? Let me ask you, did people come up to you and say, Cliffy, help me? No, you would counsel them, you would encourage them, you would exhort them, and what? And sin is deceitful, it's not going to affect them, everything's going to be okay, and what would happen? Self-destruction. By the way, friends, is sin deceitful? Does anybody start out with that first beer thinking they're going to be a stumble-down drunk? Drugs, gambling. Every time Pastor Kwok and I go to Zogos, we go in there to get food, and I got to pull him out of the back because there's that slot machines back there. He wants to go play slots. I had to get a rope on Pastor Kwok and yank him out. Wait a minute. Now, that's a joke, of course. Do I need to say that's a joke? Oh, I'm live. I better say something because somebody will think Pastor Kwok is doing this. Friend, but every time we go to Zogos, are people back there playing in the slot machines, wasting their money? Poor man's tax, that's what John calls it. That's what poor people, that's where they pay their taxes, wasting it. Sin is deceitful, friend, the deceitfulness of sin. Next, the evil heart of unbelief. And friend, I don't want to expound on this because this is not my point tonight. What's an evil heart of unbelief? Look in your notes, just write this statement down. The most important thing for you to learn about that statement is this, which means this is always, at least to some degree, an inside job. Yes or no? You see, friends, when something happens, here's our problem. Now, by the way, we've said it, you've said it, I've said it, everybody said it. They have a heart of gold. Well, I understand why people say that. They're a good person. Listen, Pam's back there tonight with the kids. She's back with Hannah. I don't know, is Jesse in there too? I went back there and saw Pam, and I said, Pam, can I come? I want to be in there with Pam, you know, just having fun. Young people, we say Pam Hall has a heart of gold. Pam's a Christian. She's a godly woman. Nobody has a heart of gold. Everybody has to put, look at me, everybody has the potential within themselves. So we got two problems. You know what the two are? We got, number one, the sin, that's external, that is very deceitful, and then we got an internal problem that tends us to pull us in weird directions. You see it in people. But here's the problem. It's easy to see it in someone else. It's not easy to see it in yourself. We continue. Then there is the hardening of one's conscience. That's what the text says. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Hardening, by the way, everybody in this room probably knows the word. I don't need to read this Greek word. We get the word sclerosis from it, hardening of the arteries. It was borrowed from Greek because the word means just like when a person's arteries get too hard, the blood won't flow. This is what happens to your conscience. So, friend, you got three problems. Yes, you got number one, sin is very deceitful. It's very charming. It always looks better than it is. I haven't been watching television at all, zero, since whenever, the second week of the break, you know, shutdown. I just, no more of that stupid. I can't watch news. But every time I've watched TV, even with the news, they advertise gambling places, boats. And every gambling place that advertises has beautiful women in beautiful dresses, good-looking guys having fun. I've been to a gambling place one time.
with Pastor Chuck Ells. We were looking for something specific, so you have to forgive us. No, we didn't gamble. He wouldn't let me. And we didn't do anything else. We went there because it was owned by the Ojibwa, the tribe he's part of. Friend, I walked in the door. This would have been 20 years ago. I walked in the door. Those people in that gambling mess did not look like the people I see in those advertisements. The average person, now by the way, I'm dating myself. Linda, you're not going to have a clue what I'm going to say. I don't think you've been here long enough, maybe. Maybe you have. The women all had blue hair. You don't know what I mean. Old white women, when I was a kid, they dyed their hairs like blue, wasn't it, Jenny? It was common. I walked in there, I never seen so many blue-headed people in my life. And the second thing I noticed was how many people were on oxygen. And I'm like, this doesn't look nearly as cool as those, all those advertisements show good-looking people dancing and laughing and eating. And I'm seeing people walk around with their walker, going up to this little thing, putting money in a slot machine. And I'm like, and we're living the life. You got three problems. Sin is deceitful. It always promises that which you cannot give. You got the problem of your own heart. And then you got the problem is, once you go down a road, do you get more sensitive or less sensitive? Answer that. More sensitive or less sensitive? Yes, because you tend to become hardened. So over a period of time, not only are you not open, you're very hard when somebody comes up to you. So I'm just going to say this. And by the way, every illustration tonight is generic. Intentionally. The young man sees a girl. Oh, he is in love. You say, why is he in love? Because it's the first girl that's ever spoken to him in his entire life. So it must be love. Of course, the moment his parents find out this girl has spoken to him, they're telling him, do you know you should not even think of dating that girl? What is he saying to his parents? He's seeing the what? The allure of love. He has a heart that's inclined to. And after a period of time, the more the parents talk to him, the less he hears, because he becomes harder and harder and harder and harder. Now, friend, we're coming to the real sermon tonight. Here's the sermon. We are part of one another. That's what happens at salvation. We are part. You can't get away from that. Not only that, we're in peril, or we're imperiled as one another. How so? Folks, sin is there. Your heart has issues. And we tend to get hardened. Can I ask you a question? Don't answer. You may answer for your spouse. Is your spouse stubborn? Let's see. You know, my wife doesn't lie very much, but she was really lying right here. Do you know, folks, stubborn is good in some areas, but stubborn can be what? I will not listen. Somebody goes out and buys a boat. Is there anything wrong with owning the boat? Nope. And then when they're owning the boat, they say, well, I got to take the boat out. And when do I take the boat out? Saturday and Sunday. So I miss a week of church. And everybody says, okay, God bless you. Hope you have a good time. And then the second week. And then the next thing you know, 6 months later. By the way, do you know the trajectory? 6 months to 1 year. That person is not in church at all because they're boating every weekend. Or they're at the cabin every weekend. Or they're. And you're sitting around wondering, what happened? There's a deceitfulness to sin. There is a problem with the heart. And you become hardened to reality. This is the reason. Read Hebrews 3:13. But exhort one another. When? Not 10 years from now. You and I must be doing it now. Friend, the church needs to be the church. Not Pastor Warren have to come to people. If I ever hear someone say, pray about something, where's the scripture? It's the word of God, not... By the way, everybody that I've ever met that prayed about something always did what they originally intended to do. That's including
running off with stupid people, doing stupid things. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Someone asked you a question. Amber, she's perfect. Can I have an amen? What did your mother say, Amber? I didn't hear her. Yeah, and your dad did not say amen. Your dad said nope. See, now, Amber, I'm conflicted because in my book, you were perfect. I have now learned that Haley is not basically good because I learned it from Kier. And now I've learned that you got a problem. By the way, I love you, love Haley. I want 100% your lives to go in the direction God wants your lives to go. I hope you know that. That's all I'm interested in. I'm going to do what I can do to, as my small part, to make that happen. But I know something about both of you, and I like both of you. Oh, by the way, and the only one harder to talk to than two girls is a guy. You have some dirtbag come along. See, I just have a rule. Any dirtbag you want to date has to see all the uncles in the church. That's who you have to talk to first. In your case, Grandpa, Pastor Warren, Dad, and we'll throw in Grandpa Hall and three or four other guys, okay? That's before you even think about, should I date? The answer is no. Should I date next year? No. You can start thinking about dating when you graduate from college. We'll let you start thinking. Now, here's my problem. Folks, please, I'm being funny, but I'm not being funny. These are good girls. I like both of them. I think they both know that. I know that these two sweet girls, they're still the deceitfulness of sin. Is that correct? Though both of them, I believe, are believers, saved girls, who on the whole want to do right, they still have a heart that has inclinations to evil, yes or no? And then there's the problem, if they go down the path long enough, what's the best time to stop stupid? Right at the beginning. All right. I say in your notes, and I'll probably deal with this Wednesday, these three concepts of course work together. You see, it isn't just sin is deceitful, but my heart already has inclinations to sin. And not only that, but I can tend to be hard-headed. I can be cabeza dura. I can be, you know, matigasangulo. I can be stubborn. I can have all of that. You put all of this together and it can be a mess. So, folks, here's the sermon tonight. Are you ready? Did I tell you at the beginning of the sermon that you can't do anything tonight? Well, you can begin. Here's the sermon. We are part of one another. We are in peril or imperiled as one another. And number three, I know this sounds funny. We must actually practice one another. Do you understand practice one another? Practice one another. Look at me. And you got to do it. When do you have to do it? But exhort one another while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened. But exhort one another daily, every day. Friend, our biggest problem at Lake County is not that our Sunday night crowd hasn't picked up like it was before the shutdown. Our biggest problem with this church is we're not practicing one another. And I'm not talking about weird stuff. You know, Atong drives in, and if he buys himself a new vehicle, this is my exact thinking. I'm happy for Atong, and I don't know if you get a new vehicle. Probably Jenny Lynn. Oh, no, it's going to be when the kids graduate from college. You don't have any money right now. If he came in here with a new car, I'm happy for him. This is not getting in other people's business. What is it? This is a person that says, my job in life as a Christian is to exhort, to encourage, to be there for one another. And I do it today, not yesterday. Because what happens if it's a year or two later? We have folks in our church. Do you not know them? It's been 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 years since they've been part of this church. Oh, they show up once in a while. They go to church. They think they've done God a favor. In your notes, we must practice one another today. Now, but exhort one another daily while it is called today.
Hebrews 10:24, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but on the other hand, doing what? Exhorting one another. Hebrews 10:25 might be, in some circles, the most misused verse in Scripture. The verse is not primarily about going to church, but about being, It's not about going to church, it's about being or practicing church. I say in your notes, and this will be on the next page, but stay here first. There are at least four ideas in these two verses. Verse 13 talks about exhorting. Is that correct? Everybody agrees with that? Verse 24 talks about considering one another to provoke unto love and good works. And then, if you turn to the next page, here are the four ideas. In these three verses alone, it talks about exhorting, it talks about considering. So friend, my job is not, as the pastor, to do this for everybody in the church. My job is to encourage the church to be the church, to practice church. Listen, right in this room, we have people that have spouses that are a wreck. Is it Pastor Warren's job to always be the person that comes alongside? The answer is no. I'm a Christian. I preach publicly. I try to practice this, but it's your job too. Because this is what you're going to find. The person that's doing wrong has 1,000 reasons for doing wrong. Yes, Cliff. And by the way, sin is never one of them. So, exhorting, considering, meaning, by the way, considering means this, friends. Look at me. You got to have your eyes open. Look at me. You must quit looking in the mirror. You must look at other people. They're part of you. Unless, God forbid, that it doesn't bother you what happens to other people. And then I would wonder if you're part of us. That's a weird way of being part of a body. Because I can promise you, you break your left lower floating rib, I guarantee you that rib is going to bother you. It's part of your body. So to provoke, another word for provoke would be to stir up. You know, it means to, you know, fan the flame is the, you know, that kind of an idea. So you're always trying to, when you're around people, why do you go out to eat? Well, we go out to eat to enjoy each other, to laugh, to goof off, to encourage one another, check on one another. There ought always to be a positive side to this. That I'm the guy, how about this? I'm the guy fanning the flame. I'm the guy or the girl, you know, the woman trying to encourage, trying to breathe life, trying to push forward, trying to get them moving. That's my job. And of course, Hebrews 10:25 also talks about exhorting, just like Hebrews 3:13. Now, friends, we don't have time to read these verses. So we'll start reading at Romans 12. The first section of verses are the love one another. I did not put them all there because there's not enough room. Just read the highlighted portion starting at Romans 12:10. Friend, this is what it means to be church or to practice church. Hey, putting your bottom in a chair is not church. It's what we do. It's practicing one another today. Paul says, be kindly affectioned one to another, with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. Romans 15:5, be like-minded one toward another. 12:16, be of the same mind one to another. 14:13, let us not therefore judge one another anymore. 14:19, one may edify another. Edify means to build up. Hey, I pick on some people always, but here's what I have learned. Ladies, I'll speak to you. When I first came to this church, one of the things I was looking for in 1996 was a couple women that I knew would be a positive center of gravity. I found one, and I found one that wasn't. The one who was a woman named Sharon Vasilovich. She wasn't the only one. There was another woman here, in some ways quieter, Her name was Racalita. And Tony, Cardenas. Racalita was just a real, just everything spinning around her spun. By the way, there was another woman here by the first name of Carol. And I started noticing every single woman that had contact with her spun the opposite direction. There's reasons for that. She had goals. Look at me in the eyes. Friend, this is what we need from you. Male or female, you need to be one of those people that your basic life is this. I'm here to push people forward. That's what I'm going to do. You don't have to be a theologian. You just can't do chismas, gossip, the little small talk of small-minded people. You just have to be a person that enjoys life, enjoys God, enjoys the people of God, and wants people to go forward. I'm not going to read the list. The list is for you to start doing. I will say this and be done. When I came to this church in 1977, there was a guy, I'm trying to be honest, I would consider him a very average man intellectually. He was not very successful in his career. But there's one thing that he had. Well, besides that he led the singing in this church, his name was Don Askew. Don Askew, every person who spun around Don Askew spun going the right direction. Every single one. That's what we ought to be. But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. So here's what you have to do. You have the verses. Now put them in your Bible. Once a day, read over the highlighted portions and look at me. Go out of here saying, I'm going to be the person. I'm not doing the gossip. I'm not doing the criticism. I would just simply say to you, grow up, confess that sin, move beyond that silliness. That's a person that wants to look good to other people. Get over that. And be one. Be it. Mike knows. Mike could testify to Don Askew. I knew Don well, and here's Don. He is a simple guy, but he was always simple this way. Straight away. Yeah, some people are good at teaching. Dada is. But Dada's greatest strength is, you got it? Cliff is a different personality than Dada. He's got that, people plus personality. He likes everybody. He's the big jokester. He's well known. But the best thing about Cliffy is people that come around him, including our teenagers, are doing what? Going the right direction. Friends, become one of those people. I'm going to build people up. I'm going to encourage people. I'm going to exhort people. I'm going to admonish people. And I'm going to do it today. Father, thank you for this time. Bless our time together tonight as we look at this discipline and help us to actually start living it. We have lots of young people even here tonight. I love them very much. It's a tough time to be a young person. There are pressures that older folks just have either forgotten or ignored. Bless our young people. Thank you for Cliff and Judy and others that are helping with them. What a privilege. Bless them. Help all of us to be a one another church. Help us to practice church. In Christ's name, amen.